where she does a bedikah, and she's unsure whether this is problematic or not. She sets it aside to show the rabbi, and then her cleaning lady comes and throws out that dirty cloth, or the underwear are accidentally washed, can no longer tell. So what's the halacha? So the Chacham Sadim writes in Klal Kuf Yud Gimel, Sif Chaf Tes, that it depends. If we're talking about a kesem, so that's a shayla d'rabbanan. For example, she doesn't know if it was bigger than a gris or not, or she doesn't know if it was red or not. And we could say safek d'rabbanan lahakel. But if we're talking about a bedika, so bedika, there might have been hargasha, and therefore safek d'oraisa lahachmir, we would have to be machmir in that case. And certainly, if it's a hefsek tara, where she has a cheskes tuma, so we would have to be machmir. And many poskim quote this chachmas adam lahalacha. If you look at the Divrei Malkiel, he discusses it. And if you look at the contemporary svarim, they quote this as well. Was there anyone who's more machmir than this? So Shlomo Kluger, in the Kuntres Acharon Hilchos Nida Siman Kuf Tzadi, actually is more machmir. Why? He says, because since we assume that all red is tameh and only yarok is tahor, so v'zeh vaday ein litlos delo shchiach. So you can't be told on Yarok, even though it's a kesem, we would have to be machmir. However, the poskim don't accept that. And among other things, they argue on metzias. What do you mean? The Shevet HaLevi, I sent you an Imrakova, says, it's not true. Most of the shailas I get asked are mutter. How could you say rov is aser? Rov is mutter. So, the Shevet HaLevi is make, although he's a little hesitant. He says that yesh hevdel bein nevad bimei sfirasa ubefrat shlosh yamim rishonim dikam makom lahachmir aval nevad biyamim tahorim v'lo hayashum raglayim ladavar sheyesh maratame tzach iyon im yesh makom lahachmir. Okay? So sounds like he's willing to be make, but maybe not during the first 3 days. The Taras Abayis, Ravadi is always mekel on this shayla, but only by ksamim. He's mekel even during the Shiva Nikim. You might have said she has a cheskas tuma. He says no. The Ramban says that there's a cheskas tahara after she does a hefsek tara, meaning to say that the hefsek tara tells me she's no longer bleeding any longer. It's interesting that he invokes that Ramban. We'll see that others disagree with that Ramban, and we might not accept that Ramban. And then he quotes an additional tzad. Shlomo Kluger says the exact opposite of the there's a different makor. I don't know where it is. I forgot to write it down. Who says the opposite svara? That he says that rov shailas are mutter. Interesting rov. Okay. Now, I wondered the following. But if you look at the Sfarim, they sound like they're machmir for at very least a hefsek tara. And it's seemingly also for any bedikos, even any of the bedikos during the Shemini Kiyum. So I thought we should be able to be makel even for hefsek tara, and certainly for bedikos during the Shemini Kiyum, for the following reason. It's a sfeik sfeika. What's a sfeik sfeika? Safek if it was red or if it wasn't red. V'imtim tzalomar, it was red, maybe there was no hargasha. Now you'll tell me, well, if there's no hargasha, but she's tamei d'rabbanan, so I could say two things back. Say, okay, but then it's a safek d'rabbanan l'hakel. D'rabbanan level, it's a safek if it's red or not, we could be mekel, right? And I'll say, but it's a chashash d'oraisa, because she did a bedika, so I'll say, okay. Sveik sveik on a deraisa level, it should be mutter. Why is everybody machmir? Now you'll tell me, maybe it's not a suffik whether it's red or not. So I'll tell you even better. If you remember, Pischei Tshuva, in our simon, Sif Katan Tes, says, even if she says it's red, it's still begadera suffik red. Why? The Pischei Tshuva over there quotes from Achronim, who say, let's say it's a different question, but I think we can extrapolate. There it's talking about a case where a woman saw kratin, the navdu below bedika. Remember that when certain pieces fall out of her body, so there's a question, what are they? Are they really pieces of blood, in which case she would be asura, or are they pieces of flesh, in which case she would be mutaras? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us this very elaborate bedika with very precise temperatured water. So she goes ahead, and before she has a chance to do this bedika, she loses them, and she really has two sveikos then. Sveik sveika, maybe it's red, maybe it wasn't red. Vimtin tzlomer, it's red, maybe it's not even blood, because it would be it wouldn't be nimuach. So he says, you could be mako based off such a sveik sveika. And he says, not only that, but even if she says it's red, you could be mako based off that sveika. V'afal gav, Shaisha Omeras Shirasa Mikodem Shaya Adom. Shitaka says, I saw it, it looked red. We call Makom, Kivin Shiyeshmara Adom, Shu Tahor, Alashain Anubakiyim, Chashis Feika. In other words, things that look red are still Begeder Safek. Now, that would seem to work with the logic of the Rush as opposed to the Ramban that we've been discussing over the last couple of shiurim. Remember, what did the Rush say? The Rush said that there wasn't a formal takana to be machmir in all red. The Rush said that how could we possibly be mafchen bein red la red? We're not good enough. Even on Orayim, we're hesitant about doing that. Kol shekein us. But if that's true, that's not mafkia the shame safik mimenu. It's still a safik. And therefore, even if she says it's red, even something that's red is a safik. And you could be mitzdarfit to a sveik sveika. Now, I don't even want to go that far. I want to be makel in a case where she says, I don't know if it was red. I set this bedika aside, cloth. In other words, even if you disagreed with that pischei tshuva, you should agree with my cheshbon. My cheshbon is, she does a bedika. Okay? She sets it aside to ask the rav. She doesn't know, red or not red. Can't tell. Right? Maybe it's red, maybe it's brown. And then she loses it. So then, for sure, there should be a sveik sveika. That's my question. So, I was very troubled by this. Why aren't we willing to be mako? So, and as I said, the contemporary Svarim, I'll quote this Chachmas Adam L'chumra. You look at the Art Scroll or other contemporaries Svarim, they're all machmir on the Shaila. So, I think the answer why the contemporary Svarim are machmir, and you see this explicitly if you look at the Chachmas Adam very carefully, the Hartzvi makes this point as well, Simon Kufnun Beis, in discussing a similar type of question, is that they don't see a bedika as a safek hargasha, but rather as a vade hargasha. Now this brings us back to our opening shiurim. We saw that this is the view of the Rashba l'cha'ora. Now it's still even not clear from the Rashba, because the Rashba might only mean it's a vade hargasha if you see dam, and here you saw dam. Let's assume the Rashba would treat this as a Vade Hargasha, and the Rambam says, Ini Damina Makoris, Becheskash, Shabbat, Vargasha, will say that's also Vade Hargasha. So, according to the Rashba, according to the Rambam, so we really don't have two Sveikos here. We have one Safek here, right? Safek red or not red. Because if it's red, we're going to assume it came by Hargasha, and then she would be a Sura. So, it's true. I agree that this Psak, to be Machmir for Bedikos, where you lost the Eid Bedika, makes a lot of sense if you follow the view of the Rambam and the Rashba. The question is, does it make sense for us? So, certainly if you'd ask Rabbi Willard, he would say, it doesn't make sense, because it's only a Din D'Rabbanan, Safek D'Rabbanan, you should be able to be Mako, right? But what if you ask Rabbi Willig, and you say, but according to those people who disagree with you, who taka think that we have to be concerned for a hargasha during a bedika, what would the din be? Still, Rabbi Willig would say, it seems almost ridiculous to say that nowadays every bedika is a vadei hargasha. Right? Willick thinks it doesn't even make sense to say it's a suffik hargasha. Okay, Zalzayin, it's a suffik hargasha, like in the olden days, like the Truma Sadeshin says that we saw. But a vadei hargasha, this lady never, ever, ever experiences hargashas. Okay, we'll have to say that when she has normal menstruation, stomach, there was hargasha. But other than that, she never, ever experiences hargasha. And she felt nothing this time. And to go ahead and say, maybe punked, epis, there was hargasha just now. That's very hard to imagine, to say that both in vadai. Again, it's hard enough to say it, that it's a suffix. But, okay, suffix I could hear. But to say there was vadai hargasha, that's very hard to imagine. And if that's true, then l'chora, we should be willing to be mako. Again, let's remember, we're not choshesh for her missing hargashos any other time, right? That's why we're mako when she sees dam on her pad or on her underwear. And we know, again, we're going to talk about the details of samim in the next simon. But it's not like we really, when we're mako on staining on underwear, right? Well, assuming it's pachos mikigris. It's not like we have any real spekos about where this blood came from. And yet, we're meiko. Say, there's no hargasha. So, that being the case, it's very hard. It's also not pashat we paskin like the Rambam. You'll see the Taz, for example, in the beginning of Simen Kuftzadi, Sifkat and Aleph. L'chori doesn't paskin like that Rambam. He paskin like Tosfos. But even if you did in theory, it's very hard to imagine that that you'd have to be machmir. It's not so pasha to be makel. The ma'aseh of the Chachmas Adam is machmir, and other poskim are machmir. But at the very least, if you ask her, well, did it look red? And she said, no, I had, you know, and she has at least some experience to be makel. In that case, there's certainly room for kula. I'm not yet, we'll leave this kasha now as a tzarchian. We'll have to continue thinking about it over the course of the year, or maybe you guys have rayos now, but I don't know if it's so pasha to be machmir on this shayla. Yes, Dovi.
I think this is kind of long, I have to check, but doesn't Tosa Shalom bring a case where she's in Zekes to see below her gasha that we can make for the explain why we make a kind of Truma Sadeshin, that Hargasha below Riyah that we're Mikkel for, she's Mikkel Sekes.
Well, we're not. We're Choshesh for the Truma Sadeshin.
Wasn't Toshon...
I'm saying halacha l'maisa, we're choshev for the Trumas Tzadishin. It might not be relevant practically. We'll talk about that when we get to Semen Koftadi, because we don't have that type of hargasha. So practically, there's no application of the Trumas Tzadishin today. Maybe. Well, again, we'll do that in Semen Koftadi. But
in general, the assumptions of chazakos for not seeing the hargasha create precedents that we make here also.
Okay. Right. I don't think you need that. Yeah.
Maybe I didn't understand the Willig Shita to begin with, but I thought we said that it's
right. Willig Shita is that every bedika is only a dinder damanan a bedika is a dinder rabbanan. So therefore, we should. It's not
you,
the dark.
You don't see Baragosh anymore, so I understand.
No, you totally are misremembering Rabbi Willig Shita. Darko Lirzit Bakach means that normal menstruation, does it resemble menstruation, a flow? She sees a dot, a tiny dot. This isn't menstruation. She does a bedika, right? So if there's any blood, how much blood is there? We do know.
We know for a fact it's not normal menstruation.
Yes, we do. Because normal menstruation is not drops. Let's even assume Zalzayin, this is blood, right?
We believe her to say that it wasn't normal menstruation.
Of course, we believe her about everything she says. She's not a liar, right? But it's obvious it's not normal menstruation.
Okay.
And she just saw a drop on a bedika cloth. If there's a problem, what is it? It's a tiny drop. We don't know. She lost the bedika cloth before she had a chance to show the rav. So she did a bedika day two of her shivinikiyam. Something looked a little fishy. She put it aside to ask the rav. Okay. So we don't know whether it's red or not. But we know it's not the dindaraisa.
And the suffix...
We're going to talk about it at one point, maybe in Zimun Kof Tzadi, how the aspect of Tum and Tahara and the aspect of Isser and Heter in terms of need to relate to each other, the Kuzari, the Taisim Bava Kama, all that. We'll get there. But the Pashup Pshat is, as you've noticed from the poskim, they're machmir over here. They don't start saying, well, is it Rosh HaSayachad, Rosh HaSarabim, Yesh Bo Das L'Shael? Right, the poskim say, like when the Chachma Sadam hears machmir, he says, when it's a kesem, you could be mekel, safek derabbanan l'kula. When it's a bedika, you have to be machmir, safek deraisa l'chama. So I'm accepting his categorization in terms of how we pask in a shayla. I'm just saying it's not a safek, it's a sveik sveika. That's my question.
I'm just pointing out that
you have a shayla. Why? What about? We'll get there. For now, we're going to assume that, no, as you see from the poskim, the Rishonim, the Gemaras,
right,
that we don't seem to consider. We follow the regular rules of Hora, first of Heter, Yerodeya, Safik Dvei Selachumra, Safik Dvei Banu Makula, Sveik Sveika Lakula, and. An interesting question, which we will be glad to return to, is are those really the correct Klali Hora? But the assumption that you've been seeing throughout is that that is the correct methodology of Psak here. Yes?
The Ramah later on in Kof Tzadi, Chosef Beis Yosef, who says that by Bedikas Eid, if there's another reason to be Tolet, you can be Mekel.
Yes.
So is that the favor said?
We're going to talk about that, Beis Yosef, and what it means, and the Ramah and the like. But perhaps that's even further evidence to be Mako. But here we don't have another reason to be Tola. In other words, that alone isn't enough.
So is the plea the same thing as a
No, subject? That's when you have something to be Tola. Here we have nothing to be Tola. We just don't know if it's red. There's no Tlia. What Tlia do we have? We have zero Tlias. We just don't know if it's red. She lost the Bediga cloth before she had a chance to ask
why
the Shaila.
Why?
Because it's not a Tlia. It's not the same case. You might say that you see from there we're making a similar type of assumption. We'll talk about that when we do Kof Tzadi. But I'm saying, I don't need any of that. I'm just saying, why isn't there a Sveik Sveik Alahakal? That's it. Nothing fancy.
That was important, is that it's real when it comes to Sveik Dereisa. That is essentially, it's not like Ksavim, it's basically...
You're saying that the fact that we apply Tlios to a Bedikas Eid is further evidence that we don't really treat it as a Vadei Hargasha, right?
You have to say that.
Okay. That seems very reasonable, and we'll talk about that in Kof Tzadi. That very well may be further support for what I'm saying, but we'll have to see. Yeah.
Why would this be different than any Maros Bismanazeh when even if it looks red, we don't know if it's the right type of red?
So that's a very interesting question. Meaning to say, if we accept that idea from the Pischei Tshuva, that every red is really Safek red, so we would have a problem with, we should be Matir every Bedika cloth,
yeah,
right? So that's not really true, because that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that we're Machmir for anything that's no Telad Mumis. Whether you think that's a Din Derabanan or Mitzad Minag, and moreover, even if, so we can't start saying Safek Derabanan and Lakula, because that was Gufa de Gzeira. Even if you follow Rabbi Willig. Again, I'm not going as far. I'm asking this question even if we're not, according to Rabbi Willig, for sure, we could be Mekel here. I'm saying the following. I'm saying even if you follow the Machmirim against Rabbi Willig, here you should be able to be Mekel here. In other words, even if you're willing to, you treat a Bedika as a Safek Deraisa, but still you should be Mekel al Tzveik Sveika here. And it's true the Chachmas Adam is Machmir, but that's because the Chachmas Adam is not treating it as a Safek Deraisa, he's treating it as a Vadei Deraisa. And again, the contemporaries from, I'll quote this Chachmas Adam, but I don't think, I wonder if when in quoting the Chachmas Adam they're considering this point, that the reason for the Chachmas Adam's Chumrah is based off of his assumption that it's a Vadei Deraisa. That's my question. So, I'm not sure. Asked Rabbi Willig what he thought, and he thought that was taka made sense. So it's something to that we have to think about. Okay. Now, another very important question that's going to come up for all of you over here is, could you paskin for your wives? So, Tosfos and Daf Chacham at base raises this question. As we mentioned before, why did Yalta need to even go ask the Shaila? So Tosfos says, Mashma, Shaloisa Regila Laharos L'Rav Nachman Baila. Last year we talked about the Ramban Shaila, why didn't she paskin herself? Well, we saw three answers in the Ramban. So fine, whatever reason she didn't ask, she didn't paskin herself, but she should ask her husband, Rav Nachman. He's married to the Gadol Hador. What's the point of being married to the Gadol Hador if you still have to go ask your shaylas to other Rabbanim? So Tosfos gives three answers. Number one, Shema lo haya baki. Very simple. Meaning to say that just because a person is a massive Talmud Chacham, so that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be an expert in paskening mouse. I remember I once asked, I had a shayla, and I went to ask, I was in Flatbush, and I went to ask Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, ah, what a big Talmud Chacham, and a big Rav, for sure, he would be able to answer my shayla. I happened to be in Brooklyn at the time, that's why, so he said, I'm colorblind. Right? So it's not a pegia in his credentials. You need, so maybe Rav Nachman was not everybody could paskin these types of shailas, even if they're humongous Talmidei Chachamim. Inami, haisa choshashas shema haya machmir al atzmo, lias libo nokfo poresh, v'lo yismocha chachmaso. Okay, also very good cheshbon. Yalta knew her husband was a big tzaddik and had a lot of yir shamayim, and maybe he would be on himself. For other people, he would be makel appropriately, but on himself, he would be a little too machmir. So she figured she'd ask somebody else. Inami, shalotiz gane b'fanav. So very simple that. She was concerned that maybe she would look bad. That sometimes, you know, that's a sensitivity that some women have. It's very important when answering questions on Maros to be very sensitive to that fact. You have to be as professional as possible, and really it is, you know, when answering shaylas, you are a professional. But it's something that oftentimes women makes them uncomfortable. So that was her concern. She thought that this would infringe on their marital relations. Fine, but Tosfos takes for granted that there's no problem whatsoever on a fundamental level of paskening for one's wife. So there is an opinion, quoted in the Meiri, that's machmir, or at least mefakfik. He's not sure if Tosfos is right. Maybe, Taka, you do see from this story that one can't paskin shaylas for their wife. The Meiri over there says at the end, v'ani mefakfik, having quoted Tosfos, I'm not sure. Lomar shekol she'aisa talui bo k'shel atzmo hu ve'ein lo liros. This relates to the idea of Ein Adam Ro and Nigei Atzmo. So the Miri is unsure. However,
Ein Adam Ro and Nigei Atzmo,
well, so Tosfos brought a raya. Tosfos said, like this, what is raya? Deha b'mesechas negaim tenan, kol negaim Adam Ro echutz min Nigei Atzmo. Remeir Omer, aflo Nigei Krovov, kol nedarim Adam Matir, chutz min Nidrei Atzmo, Rabbi Yeshua Omer, aflo Nidrei Ishto. Vilu kol Adamim, Adam Roa, Chutz Midme Ishto Loktani. Right? So that's his diuk. The Meiri's unsure if that's a good diuk or not. Now, we don't paskin like this Meiri. It's not cited in any of the poskim, and we paskin like Tosfos. One can paskin his wife Shaila. However, there is an issue that comes up that's quoted by the Pischei Tshuva, Sifkat and Vavan Arsimin, from the Chachmas Adam that maybe you can't paskin against a Chezkas Isser. What is this based off of? It's based off of a Rash. What does the Rash say? The Rash on the Mishnayos says that B'davar Sheschazik Isura, so then a Chacham can't paskin for himself or for his wife. Where does the Rash get this from? The same Mishnah that Tosus was quoting. The Mishnah says, Kol ha bechoros adam roa, chutz mi bechoros atzmo. Okay. Now what does that mean? So the Rash says, the pshat is, that you're not allowed to paskin on things where there's a chezkas iser, if it's not biyado, to be misaking. It's a general rule. It's not limited to negayim. It's not limited to bechoros. It's a general rule, he writes, that vim ha'isa b'chezka vim ha'chezkas iser yesh biyado l'haviro kemo lishchot behema o lishol al hakadshim shebiyado l'havir asa chazaka b'meh sheyish chetenu o sheyish alachacham yotzienu l'chulen neman gam al hora al atzmo. It's an interesting lesson of neman, right? In other words, the Rash is comparing this to the idea of Eidach HaNam and Bisurin, where we're machalik between Cheskas Isser and Heter and Biado and not Biado. Lefizeh, so the Chachmas Adam quotes this, and he writes, Delo Shari El Lishchot, Avalam Ira Lo Sheila B'Shchita, Al Yora. Who says that? The Taz? Taz in Yoredea, Simen Yodches, Sif Katan Tes Vav. You have a Shaila Neshchita, so at this point, it's not biyado. That's the psak of the Rash, which is cited by the Taz and cited by the Binas Adam. Now, what would that be relevant for us? So maybe that means that a man shouldn't be able to paskin his wife's shilos, right? Like the Miri said. So the Chachmas Adam says, no, that's not true. Why? There's no Chezkas Isser. Why not? Like Tosfos says in Gittin, in the beginning of the first parak, that there's no cheskas roa, meaning to say, even though there's a cheskas tuma, a woman is asura until she goes to the mikvah, but there's no presumption that because she started seeing dam, she's going to see dam forever. We know she's going to stop. We know she's going to stop after a couple of days, right? Otherwise, she would die. So she knows she's going to stop after a couple of days. So even though the hafsek tara is to show that she stopped bleeding, that's not really going against the chazaka. That's what Tosfos says in Gittin, and the Chachmas Adam accepts it. So therefore, in terms of paskening your wife's maros or ksamim, that's certainly okay, because it's not against the chazaka. So when is this relevant? This is relevant if there's a shaila on the tevila. For example, I remember my wife once called me from the changing room of the mikvah, and she had some chatzitza shaila, and she called me. So the first thing I thought of was the Chachmas Adam. Can I really paskin the shaila? So first of all, it has to be something that's really a hora. Not every question that is asked is really demands a hora. It's zilk, you know, it's a dvar mishnah. We talked about last time that it could be that all maro shailas nowadays aren't really hora. And, you know, some, just like we say, lamashal, in terms of in Mesachah Sanhedrin, ta b'dvar mishnah is different than ta b'hora, ta b'shukal hadas. So not every question that's asked really demands a hora. But in this case, I called Rabbi Sablovsky, since in light of the Chachmas Adam. But that's the question. So that's the psak of the Chachmas Adam. Now here, there's certainly a cheskas tuma, right? Because she's definitely tamei until she goes to the mikvah. She goes to the mikvah with the chatzitza, she didn't go to the mikvah. You have a shaila on the tvila, that's a cheskas iser, a cheskas tuma, in which case, according to the Rash, the husband may not paskin. So not everybody agrees to the Taz and the Chachmas Adam that were choshish for this Rash. The Aruch HaShulchan, over in our siman, as well as even more forcefully, in Simen Yud Ches, argues that the Rash is wrong, and all the Rishonim disagree with the Rash. For Raya, nobody brings down the Rash. Aye, what about his Raya? He brought a good Raya from the Mishnayos and Bechoros and the Negayim, Answer is no. It's not actually a raya at all. There's a very good reason why you can't, a kohen can't paskin his own b'choros. Right? Kol b'choros adam roe chutz mi b'choros asmo. That's because, as we know, kohanim are chashudim on b'choros. It's not something I'm very proud to admit. But we are. So that's why it's different. It's a unique case. And what about negoyim? Negoyim is also different, because negoyim is a chalos. It's not just a hora. And the truth is also hataras bechor is like hataras nedarim. That's why we need three people for hataras bechor. And that being the case, you can't extrapolate from negoyim and bechoros to all other shilas, all other aspects of Yoredeya, all other types of hora. The extrapolation that the Rosh makes is very questionable. It's dafka in these unique cases where there's a chalos required that we say that a person can't paskin for themselves against the cheskes iser. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam and everybody but the Taz basically doesn't paskin like this Rosh. And therefore the Aruch HaShulchan thinks really one could be mekel on this shayla and even paskin their own questions, even if it's against the Cheskas Esser. Okay, Siv Gimel. Yeah.
Oh. Is there any story that the Rebbe would be machmir?
No, I didn't know. And this, yeah. I don't know if we paskin like the Aruch HaShulchan or Rechoshish for the Chachmas Adam.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. You know, if you can, why not ask somebody else? It could be if there was no other choice. You know, a Rav gets a shayla on Friday night. There are no other Ravanim in town. That we would be makel push comes to shove. Okay, Sif Gimel. We talk about Shfofaris. So we mentioned already the famous tshuva from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in which he suggested the takana for these women that have orthodox infertility is shetilba shaisha yomo yomaim lefnei haveses shfoferes shalgumi dak al pi amakor v'yesagor muhudak heitev. You take this catheter or something like that, this wire, this tube, I mean to say, very thin tube, and you attach it to her mekor from the outside. Now, this only is going to work if you assume that the cervix is the mekor. Again, I know that we haven't had a chance to really work on the metzias too much, but the basic knowledge that you have to have for this and what we're going to talk about next, which is psichas hakever, in psichas hakever blodam, is you have the, let's see, do we have a marker here? Good. So this is a very rough picture, but it'll have to do. So we have here sometimes the uterus. Okay, there are tubes coming into here. Those don't concern us now. Right, this is the uterus wall, meaning to say when the blood builds up over here on the uterus wall, it's the lining, and when she menstruates, that blood sheds. Okay, and then we have the cervix. It's probably not exactly to scale. The cervix would be a little wider. And the cervix has two openings, the internal os, or orifice, and the external orifice. The external orifice then leads to the vaginal canal, which goes out of her body. So the question is whether this is definitely the makor, this is the cheder, right? The question is, when does the makor begin? And one of the central questions is whether or not the cervix is part of the makor or not. Is the internal os the entrance to the makor, or is the external os the entrance to the makor? And that's something that isn't So Yerim is debated in the poskim. It's debated in the poskim. So, what's relevant to us is the following. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's theory will only work. You couldn't actually stick a tube all the way up to here, for reasons that we'll talk about a little later, practically. But you could stick a tube up to here. And okay, you put your tube here, and all the dam will go straight from the external os, meaning to say the end of the makor, and straight into the tube. And that's dam bishvoferes. And as you all know, the Gemara says that haroa dam bishvoferes is okay. That's Rosh Shlomo Zalman's question. Seemingly a very good theory. So I don't know if anyone's ever tried it. Not exact, you know, that is a part of the body that you could reach. Like a woman, for example, you have to be trained how to reach it. But if a woman uses a diaphragm, that's where the diaphragm goes, right over here, at the external os. And she could place it there. So if you're in the right position, you could reach that. That was his theory. Fascinating theory. So number one, is assumption number one that he's making is that the makor includes the cervix. Assumption number two is very interesting as well, which is that if you look at the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch is v'hotzia badam, which sounds a little bit like the shvoferes is motzi the dam. In this case, the shvoferes isn't motzi the dam at all. The shvoferes simply captures the dam that's leaving on its own. Would that really work? So, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and Sifkat and Tess, he says this question is actually dependent on the Machlokas Rishonim, how to understand why dam bishvoferes is tahor. According to Rashi and Tosfos, the reason why dam bishvoferes is tahor is because there's a chatzitza between the dam and the beis hachitzon. In which case, this should work. This should make sense. But if you look at Rambam in the Rosh, it says because the shvoferes was gorim the re'ia, it's not derech nashim. In other words, this is an abnormal re'ia. Now l'chaora, what they hold is like the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, that she was echnisa shvoferes v'otzia badam. In other words, the shvoferes was motzi the dam. In which case, if we were to follow the Rambam and the Rosh, this wouldn't work. And therefore, since we paskin in the Shulchan Aruch that v'otzia badam, really Rosh Shlomo Zalman's theory wouldn't work. And the body of Shulchan and the Shevet Alevi make this point. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach over there in that long shuvah and anaf base argues against the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. He makes the case that even according to the Rosh, if there's a hafsek, it would be considered shelo kederach. In other words, that hafsek alone makes it shelo kederach. It's not chatzitza al chatzitza in a chanami. It's chatzitza which makes it shelo kedarko. And once it's shelo kedarko, then she would be mutaris. Now, one objection which Rosh Shlomo Zalman acknowledges is that clearly this is not the way the Beis Yosef was assuming. Why? Because the Beis Yosef asks an interesting question. We'll see later. We paskin eifshar lepsichas hakever below dam. Any opening of the makor is going to cause bleeding. And therefore, the Beis Yosef says, how is it that raw dam shvoferes is tahora? When you insert the shvoferes into the makor, that will lead to dam leaving, in which case she should be asura. And the Beis Yosef answers that we're talking about a shvoferes that's very, very, very thin, dak shebedakin, and therefore we don't say ef shalop tichas kevelo dam when that which is inserted, the opening of the makor, is so small. But you see that the Beis Yosef is taking for granted that Rosh Shlomo Zalman is wrong. According to Rosh Shlomo Zalman, there's no need to insert the shvoferes into the makor. It's enough to put it right up next to the makor. Okay? The question is the Beis Yosef right? Lemaisa, the Pesach Tshuva writes in Sifkatan on Sifkatan Zion, I guess, towards the end, after quoting like 30 or 40 achronim on this topic of the halachos of dam b'shvil feres, mipnei shedavar zeh kiyotzei bo lo nitan rishus l'chol mora lifso kadin b'zeh kiyim l'gdolei hador. So that's why I didn't bother telling you what all those 30 different achronim say, because this is not for regular rabbanim to pasket. In other words, you see, the Pesachet is writing for like regular rabbanim, so therefore he doesn't just say ayin 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 ayin. He actually tells you ayin note of Yehuda, ayin chasam sofer, and this is what they say for something that's for shailas that regular rabbanim are able to pasken, but for shailas that only gedolei hador pasken, he doesn't bother telling you what they say, because I guess the gedolei hador know what they say anyway. So he just gives you a long list of mar makomos and tells you to look there. So I don't know if this is at all practical and if this has ever been done. And as we mentioned, in terms of the issue of Orthodox infertility, there's usually a better question. In terms of the sugya of Ro'adam B'chaticha, so I was actually planning on discussing with you and learning up the machlokas between the Rashi and the Rash and the like, which is very interesting, in the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Who do we paskin like? Rashi, Rash, machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Bach. But I think, in light of our being behind schedule, we're going to skip it, though it is very interesting, and I know Shmuel is disappointed, but it's, I guess, it's not so lemaisa. I actually had a Dam B'chaticha Shaila last week, and I asked Rabbi Willig if we would pass in a Dam B'chaticha Shaila, and he said, in theory, and then he walked off. So lemaisa, they're not so lemaisa. So I think, as I said, though it is interesting, we're going to skip the sugya together. I think you did all do it on your own, and I would be happy to talk to you about it. So we're going to skip now to the sugya. Yeah.
About the shofaris.
Yeah.
So even for Shlomo, why would it not still be a problem of being viv sara when it leaves through the cervix into the tube?
Because it never entered the beis achitzon. The dam never was in the beis achitzo.
I don't know how I ended up passing, but isn't like right there the end of the cervix, and then
as long as it was never in the beis achitzo, then it would be okay. That's Shlomo Zalman at least's argument. Again, the Beis Yosef seems to disagree with that, but at least Shlomo Zalman Arbach argued that as long as it's never in the beis achitzo, because when does she become a sura? When it leaves the Beis HaPnimi and enters the Beis HaChitzon. So as long as it's never in the Beis HaChitzon, in other words, it's Mehuda Ketev, there's no point where it's in the vaginal canal at all. It goes straight from the cervix into the tube without ever being in the vaginal canal. Then that should be okay. It's never in the Beis HaChitzon. The time, the moment where she would theoretically become Asura is when it enters the Beis HaChitzon.
You could defend the Rosh Hashanah because the Beis Yosef himself is in fact making she does a rush there. So it could be the rush that she does. So I would say that
is
fine.
It could be, yeah. Maybe. Okay. So the Gemara in Nida Chaf Aleph, Amid Aleph, has a Mishnah, Hamapelas Chaticha, Im Yeshi Madam Temea, Vim Lav Tahora. Bebuda Omer, Bein Kach Uvein Kach Temea. So what's going on here? So why is Rabbi Yehuda Machmir? So the Gemara explains, Yev Shel Psicha Sakeve Below Dam. And the Chachamim disagree. So how do we paskin? So this is a machlokas rishonim. Tosfos, Ramban, Smag, Rashba, Rash, all paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Yev shel psichas hakever below dam. Why would you paskin that way? Because Rava seems to paskin that way, and Rava's Basra. And this is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Rif, the Rambam, the Magid Mishnas disagree. We always paskin like the Chachamim, like the Tanakama, and especially because Rov Amorayim hold like the Tanakama. And therefore, Efshel Psicha Sakever below Dam. Then there's a third group of Rishonim, cited by the Beis Yosef, the Shiltos, and this is also the view of the Balamor, that if Nigmir Atzura Savlad, Efshel Psicha Sakever below Dam, but if Lo Nigmira Efshar. Now, the question is, what are they actually holding? So the simplest explanation is that they really hold that Ef Shel Psicha Sakeva Below Dam, like Rabbi Yehuda, like Rov Rishonim, except their moda when the thing leaving is small, and any time it's Lo Nigmar Tzuraso, so then they'll say it's Ef Shel Psicha Sakeva Below Dam, because of its smallness. So the question then we have to figure out is, since we are Mahmir, though it's Machlokas Rishonim, as we noted, we follow the opinion of Rov Rishonim that EF Shal Psichas Kevel Odam, so how big is it? We mentioned the Beis Yosef says that there must be, the Beis Yosef proves some other questions as well, there must be a shear. There must be a certain amount where the Makor is able to be open up, but without Dam leaving. For example, we say, as we noted last time, we don't accept the Chinuch. We assume that Dam Tahor, Dam Yarok, for example, comes from the Makor as well. Well, the Makor had to open up to excrete that Dam Yarok. And if it were the case that Yevshe Lepsichas Kevlo Dam, so then she should be Asura, not Alts the Dam Yarok, but because there must have also been some real Dam that left. Unless you say below Dam means includes Dam Yarok, but that doesn't seem to go with the Gemara, because the Gemara assumes that even though you don't see any Dam, when the Makor opened to secrete this Chaticha, so then there must have been Dam. So there has to be a shear. The question is, what's the shear? So the Beis Yosef basically says, I don't know. Does it say anywhere what the shear is? I have no clue what the shear is. So we have no choice but to be machmir, except if it's dak shebedakim. What's dak shebedakim? Who knows? But you need dak shebedakim. In other words, since there's no shear, we have to be machmir, the most machmir possible. We know there's something, but unless it's dak shebedakim, we have to be machmir. That's
the size of the shofars now, or
well, the shofars would be an example of something that's dak shebedakim. But the point is, how much does the makor open? We know if the makor opens, Dam leaves. How much does it open? So we know that a tiny, tiny opening does not cause Dam to leave. The Beis Yosef says an example of that is the halacha that Dam b'shvofaris she's mutaris. Even though you inserted the shvofaris into the makor, which means that the makor must have opened at least a tiny, tiny amount, and yet we still say she's mutaris. So it must be that the rule of Yev Shal Psichas Kevel below Dam has some limit. If it only opens up tiny amount, pachus mikashir, then it's possible for the makor to open without dam. So the question is, what is that shear? So the Beis Yosef.
The external
nothing to do with it. Whatever the makor is, who knows?
You're saying the shofar is opening up could be different than if the tevesh is, she feels that something.
That's a question we'll talk about later. The Pesach Tshuva deals with that child. We're not up to there yet. Okay. Whatever.
Assuming that it opens it up.
You see, well, if you want to go with the Beis Yosef, since you quoted it, you see the Beis Yosef is taking for granted that a psichas hakever mibachutz is considered part of the rule, obviously. He's taking that for granted, otherwise this is irrelevant. So that's his proof. We'll see later, it's a machlokas. But whatever it is, there's a shear. The question is how big the shear is. So Beis Yosef says, achveis nisht. So memeli, you have to be machmir, except if it's dak shebedakin. The Gra writes the following. This is the Gra towards the end of Simen Kof Pechas. Emi Chaticha. Right, so he's commenting on the comments of the Shulchan Aruch that unless it's Dak Shebedakim we're concerned. Sheinu Mefurash Shira Chaticha L'Psichas HaKever. We don't know. It's not Mefurash anywhere what the Shira is. So that's the basis of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? The Gra always explains what is the makor for the Shulchan Aruch? Then the Gra continues, Aval beperg zayin de oalos amrinan ein benefilim ein lenefilim lechulei. What is the Gra saying over here? He gives a shir. So he's disagreeing with the Shulchan Aruch, right? Usually, when the Gra uses the word aval, it indicates that he's disagreeing. In other words, he first cites the psak for the Shulchan Aruch, and then he says, aval, but... In other words, but I think it's wrong. I'm going to give you a shear, right? It's very kedai for you, for guys, if you have time, to learn as much Gra as you can. It's very hard, obviously, very cryptic, a lot of achules, but it opens up worlds. So what is the Gra referring to here? So the Gra is referring to a Mishnah in Oalos. What does it say over there? Haisha shi makshalelet, votziua mi bias le bias, Harishon tamei besafek vasheni bevadai. I'm Rav Yehuda. Emasai. So here we're talking about a woman who is makshalele. Basically, she's carried, it's a stillbirth. The fetus has died. So the fetus is mitame. Anytime you have a fetus that's nigmar tsuraso, and the Mishnayos tell you exactly what that's considered, at what stage of development it's going to be mitame ba'ohel, but we're talking here about a case where she's miscarrying, it's a stillbirth, and this is a situation where the fetus is going to be mitame ba'ohel. Now, as long as it's still inside of her, it's tuma balua, and it doesn't affect the room. Right, so even if she's in a room with this dead fetus inside her body, everybody else is going to be okay. That could remain tahor. However, as she gives birth at a certain point in time, so there's going to be the psicha sakaver, and it will no longer be tumah blua, and everybody else will become tameh. So what the Mishnah is addressing is what stage does that take place? So the Mishnah writes the following: Emasai, bizman shehi nitelas begapayim, avlam haisim halachas harishon tahor, shemishen niftach hakever ein penai lahalich. Basically, when the makor opens up sufficiently for this to be considered no longer tumablua, so at that point she won't be able to walk around anymore. She'll need assistance from her friends. So if she's still able to walk around unassisted, it must be that the makor is not yet sufficiently open, and therefore everybody else will be tahor. That's what the Mishnah says. Okay. Ein l'nefilim, the Mishnah continues, psichas hakever, ad she yagilu rosh kepika. So it actually gives us a shear. How big does the kever have to open? Rosh kepika. What's a pika? The Rav Avadia says in that Mishnah, the Bar Tanura, kilomer sheishlo igul rosh gadol kepelach hazeh, shanashim tavos bo hachut shel shesi. In English, this is called a whorl, and it's a small disc that's placed on the spindle to stretch the fibers. That's what a pika is. So now we have a shear. The shear is a pika. Okay, this doesn't help us so much, though, because how big is a pika? We don't really know how big pikas are. So the poskim say, though, you could be mako up to a certain amount, seemingly much bigger than daksha bedakin. The Badi HaShulchan says 15 millimeters. Rav Moshe seems to say in one place maybe 15, another place he says 19 millimeters or 3/4 inch. The Tiferes Tzvi says the size of an agudal, a 1 inch. Where are they getting the Yeshurim from? 1 inch, a 1/2 inch, 3/4 inch. So they're getting the Yeshurim from the Noda Bihuda, actually. It's not from the Gra. But Derech Agav comment to the Noda Bihuda. The Noda Bihuda, in passing, writes that if a doctor were to stick his finger into the Makor, so then that would be considered Psichas HaKever. That's in the discussion that Shmuel brought up in terms of Psichas HaKever Mibachutz. But the Noda Bihuda takes for granted that if a doctor sticks in his finger into the Makor, so then she would be Asur. And the question is, what finger are we talking about? The Badi HaShulchan says it's Etzba Ktana. So how big is your pinky? I don't know, about 15 millimeters, right, 1.5 centimeters. And the Tiferes Tzvi says, what finger? An agudel, the thumb, that's about 1 inch. Okay. Moshe says, a regular finger, 3/4 inch. In another place, he also says, etzba ktana. Not clear exactly. But somewhere, let's say, between a 1.5 centimeters and 1 inch. Now, the question is like this. What does this mean for us? So, this is going to be very relevant for all sorts of gynecological procedures. Why? Because if the doctor sticks an instrument into her uterus, let's assume for the moment, though, either past the cervix or into the actual uterus, that will depend on the shayla that we referred to before, but he inserts an instrument And then it will depend how thick the instrument is. If the instrument, let's say we're machmir, like the Badei HaShulchan, so if the instrument is bigger than 15 millimeters, then even if there's no dam, the doctor doesn't see any dam, she doesn't see any dam, but still she'll be asura, because Iafshar lipsichas hakever below dam. Whereas, and presumably it's going to be safek arasha, because, you know, when he's sticking this instrument in, there's at least that possibility for safek argasha. So this is a very important shaila. Now the good news is that basically without anesthesia, you can't stick an instrument bigger than 12.5 millimeters into the makor. It would be too painful. That point is made in the Nishmas Avram. And Sifkat and base in Kuf Tzadi Dalad. So, but basically that means is, assuming you don't see dam, for all gynecological procedures where there isn't anesthesia, right? Typically, there isn't. You know, she's not knocked out. So then you could assume it's okay. Now, what about if there is dam? Sometimes it's a lot smaller than 1.5 millimeters, 1.5 centimeters, but so the concern isn't the psichas hamakor, the concern is the actual bleeding. So we're going to talk about this a little later, but many poskim, according to, including Rabbi Willig, not all poskim, but many poskim are makel that at least you could give that dam the dinim of ksamim, which means if it's discovered on sivonim, let's say, you could be makel, or we even saw that Rabbi Willig was makel on dam that the doctor sees in the vaginal canal, based off of his theory, because he thinks the takana of bedikas wasn't said there. But you do, in those cases, do have to ask a shaylan. And when we talk about maka, we'll talk more about that halacha. Now, it is possible to dilate a cervix 1.5 centimeters without inserting anything. So you sometimes could have that problem, at least for the Badei HaShulchan. Generally speaking, so that these do come up, and just for your marmakom lachem, in the back of the art scroll, the green art scroll Chosnita, first in volume 1, and then he expanded on them in volume 2, he discusses the halachic concerns about all gynecological procedures, or almost all, or the like. So when addressing such a question, you can take a look there. But generally speaking, the issue of psichas hakever will not be an issue for the reasons that we said, that the instruments being inserted are so small. Now, there's still two questions we have to consider, which is psichas hakever mibachutz, which we'll get to, and also maybe the idea of psichas hakever lo dam only means if something leaves, like the chatich leaves, then we assume there was also dam. We'll get to those questions as soon as we answer these questions. Yeah, Dovi. I'm sorry? He doesn't. He just takes, it's a chiddush that they're saying it based off of that. But they're saying, since the note of Yehuda was machmir for a finger, we're not going to be more mako than the note of Yehuda. But less than that, we could assume it's... Yeah, the gra was right. Now the truth is it's so pashut to follow the gra. The gra l'chora is a very good raya, right? It's a Mishnah. So there is a machlokas, and the truth is the Ravid says explicitly that that has nothing to do with it. There is a Rishon explicitly against the gra. In other words, against the Beis Yosef, it's not as big of a deal. He says, I don't know of a makor. Maybe he would agree if he had a makor, but the Ravid is against the Gra. But I think the poskim are willing to be makel on that. Yeah.
Why is the Gra's Ravid good right? Meaning, the fact that in the Tumah it's considered open, basically that means both can come out.
Well, because the Mishnah calls it a psichos hakaver. You're correct. It's not machrach, and the Ravid makes that point. But presumably, there is one meaning in Shas to psichas hakever. You could say there are two meanings. But the Gemara is assuming that there's one meaning. Rabbi.
I was wondering when it comes to giving birth.
We're going to talk about birth in just a moment. We're going to talk about it. That's a shaila you're asking. How do you reconcile the mission on Shabbos versus the mission on Olos? The mission, the Rishonim addressed that question, right? The mission on Shabbos gives three. We'll talk about it when we get there. Hopefully today. But that's a shaila, which is the mission on Shabbos gives three shiurim, and the mission on Olos gives one. Right, it just says Chavosem Asayos Sasa. What's how do you reconcile that? That's an issue that the Rishonim address. Yes.
A little bit of what Yoni was saying, that we know in Nida talks about the woman can be Tumea Leida from something as big as a fly.
Right? Tumas Leida is a little different. Tumas Leida is a din, and Tumas Leida has nothing to do, even if there was no blood. The Tumas Leida, right? That's a discussion in the Mesachas Nida, but we assume. The Tumas Leida is for Leida, and it's not because of the blood. Even if there was a bloodless Leida, she would still be Tumea Leida. So that's a different question. The question in the Mishnah in Olos was a totally different issue. It has nothing to do with Tumas Nida. It has to do with Tumas Ames. The only question is, the reason why the Gra thinks there's a Raya is because the fact is that the term used by the Mishnah is the same term as we use over here. So if you assume that the terms have the same meaning, so we should be able to extrapolate. It's not that, like we said, that the dinim have to be the same. But the Mishnah does use the same term. So if there was a chiluk, if that term, sichas hakever, means two different things in two different contexts, the Gra assumes the Gemara would have said that.
So what I was thinking that that Mishnah is definitely, also, any time it's a nafel, we're also talking about this tumas ames thing, right?
There's tumas leida for a nafel. That's true. And there's also an issue of tumas mace.
Right.
They have nothing to do with each other.
Right, so that mission was also talking about even when it's a nafel the size of a fly, because a nafel can be even that small.
Maybe.
So if that, so.
But lemaisa, the Mishnah says, until it's open kapika, it's tumablua. So that's why we have a raya. It doesn't matter how big the nafel is. What matters is how big is the opening to the makor. Right? Even if the nafel was theoretically smaller than a pika, if the opening to the makor was the size of a pika, then there would be tumas awal in the room.
Isn't it a rosh to pika? Isn't that the
one? Yeah.
At the head of the nafel.
Yeah, I thought it was talking about how much has the.
That's true, but ended. If but fundamentally it would be true either way. You're correct. The Mishnah is Rosh. What's the lashon over there? Ein l'nefilim psichas hakever ad sheyagilu Rosh kapika, and that's because the baby descending is descending head first, and that's what creates the opening. Mm-hmm. But fundamentally, at least the Gra is assuming, it's not Talui Bizeh. Our question is, I think so. I think that's what the Gra means. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Poskim assume that we follow the Nod Yehuda, even though
Chachmas Adam thinks that the Nod Yehuda's Metzias is wrong, because you can't stick your finger in there, because if you did, then every time she has tashmish or does a bedika, she would become a sura alts psichas hakever. But that's a metzias disagreement.
It is like it can't be so.
It can't be so. That's the point. So he's saying that a doctor wouldn't do that, right? Because a doctor can't get his finger in so much. And Nodvita says, no, a doctor can. And the truth is, a doctor could, in theory, if she's in the right position. Doctor
I
wouldn't.
I thought he was arguing that can't say yeah, psichas hakever. It's shy for this because.
That might be true. It doesn't matter. Lemaisa, the Noda Behuda says that if it's the size of a finger, that would be a psichas hakever, that would make her asura. The Chachmas Adam does disagree with the Noda Behuda, but not fundamentally, in the sense that he might fully agree that any opening the size of a finger would make her asura. He's just saying it's impossible for a doctor to stick his finger in to the makor. Right? Because if it's true, then every time she has bedikos and tashmish, it would be a problem. Happens to be that that kasha isn't necessarily a kasha, because the nature of how far in you go can go depends a lot on the position she's in, and the like. And if you're in the right position, you actually, like we said, some, you know, when a woman inserts a diaphragm, for example, so she's able to cannot reach the cervix to insert it properly, and she's shown how to do that. But anyway, that challenge of the Chachmas Adam on the Note of Yehuda doesn't mean that he disagrees with what the Note of Yehuda says, namely that a finger would be a psichas piyamakul.
Because he's...
And let's get to that. We only brought up that Note of Yehuda now, Derech Agav, because that's what the poskim say. No, you're right. It's a chiddush that Rav Moshe is quoting that, but that's what he writes there. I'll just read you his lashon, right? Avshe huzker bepischei tshuva b'shem Note of Yehuda derakshu kikash in lachosh mestam le'nes taitin machosh mechurachem omar de lo kol psicha choshishin ladam de ha bepila kein tsairos u v'yetzias dam tahor ein choshishin. Right, like the Gra says, Linyan Tuma Dehu Mishia Mishi Yaagilu Rosh Kapika. Dashir Acher Lomatinu. Right, the Gra's right, because we don't find any other Shir. Velachain Avshalo Yadu Alanu Shir Pika Mikomakom Vadai Imeno Av Meetzba Ktana. Here he says Ktana, like the Bar Shulchan Yesh Lahakel. Right, where do you get Etzba Ktana? From that Note of Yehuda. In other words, we don't really know. He makes up that shear, not because he's convinced that might be bigger than an Etzba Ktana, but we don't really know what a pika is, right? Anyone ever seen a pika?
Wouldn't it be Rupa Dachta, though? Isn't that the same as when it's considered born, when the
nafel. We'll talk about that a little later. But the nafel could be very small. Right? Like
yeah,
you said.
It's like a normal sized baby.
Lav dafka. I don't know why you'd assume it's normal size. Okay. So, well, let's, I guess, do one more point. You know what? Maybe we'll stop here. We're mostly done. We don't have too much left to do tomorrow, but we have to finish Psichas HaMakor and basically talk about Leida, and that's it. Issues of Leida: when does a woman become asura during the process of childbirth, and what about false labor, and all those very interesting questions from a Kuf Tzadi Dala that you saw. So what time would you like to have Shir tomorrow? So I'm giving the Sukkah Shir at the 9:15 slot, which is what's scheduled. I don't want to... does 12 work for you? Or is there a shir at 12 from the Yom Yun that you want to go to? No? So, I'm free. Any other time works for me. If you want to do later, we could do that. 1:30. Tell me. It's equally convenient for me. I'm here learning. What?
Is Mincha 2:30?
Oh, I did some funny thing about Mincha, right?
Oh, it's at 6:45. Oh, now we'd be at
Mincha. Okay. Fine. So would 1:15 be better? 1:15?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So Bez Hashem tomorrow, 1:15, in this room. If the room is taken, some other room. Okay. I don't think so.